Hello and welcome, Buena Vista. This is a bonus episode. Long before even the time of your grandfather's grandfather, before the waters rose to swallow the empires of the ancients in their cities of glass and lightning, before the time of storms that racked the children of the ancients who founded new cities on the archipelago that sits like so many thousands of crowns upon the drowned mountains of Heptagea, before the multitude of stars placed in the heavens by the ancients began to die and fall into the seas, there was Yirmeyahu, Hor Guy, Novus Edward. Yirmeyahu, whose face appeared to millions, and whose marvels featured in sagas without end. Yirmeyahu, whose aspects are countless. We worship Yirmeyahu, the messenger, who sends his messages to his worshippers, and at times responds. We worship Yirmeyahu, the archer, who defends us with his bow and his arrows. We worship Yirmeyahu, the automancer, who gathers the decrepit iron land boats of the ancients and restores them. We worship Yirmeyahu, the knight, who protects us from that which might destroy us in his suit of green armor. We tell his story so that he might guide us. He who defeated that which was called in a tongue ancient even to the ancients, Thanatos, death himself. We acknowledge the sacrifice, allowing himself to nearly succumb to the veil of death at the hands of his enemy, the Snow Cat, to save the life of his only begotten nephew, and so almost die for the sins of us, his children. We beseech you, Yirmeyahu, who we also call Jarrah Mirenna. Assemble your army of exalted ones. We pray that you and your revengers guide us and protect us. Theo, what's your favorite thing about Jarrah Mirenna?
You've covered the archery thing.
Yes.
Pretty dope.
Yeah, he's very accurate. And he would very use accurate. A bow and arrow to dispatch
Honestly,
his enemies.
Honestly, the archery thing.
We saw this in the sagas, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Jarrah Mirenna and his revengers.
I wish I'd seen the movies.
Yeah.
The revengers.
So that you could then the sort of interpret tales. Them through the lens of, say, a people thousands of years in the future.
Yeah.
Who would turn them into a sort of a kind of a religion focused around.
Yeah, an oral history passed on. Yes. We're not talking about getting sucked on.
I wish we were.
No, talking.
That's generally not what people are talking about when they say oral history.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your oral history? Twice. Pretty good.
Once at camp. Once at camp, and then one after an office party.
First one was a cousin.
Gone in a direction I didn't really anticipate.
Barely counts. So we only see each other once every 2 years.
Andrew, what's your favorite thing about Jarrah Mirenna?
Jarrah Mirenna. I mean, we talked about the accuracy with the bow, right?
Yes.
To me, it would be the miraculous life recovery properties. You know, things that would kill a mere mortal man.
Oh, you're talking about when he was nearly defeated by his enemy, Snow Cat?
Yes.
Weighing almost 7 tons.
Yes, the Snow Cat would crush, destroy, and obliterate a mere mortal.
Yes.
Jarrah Mirenna, however.
Jarrah Mirenna, yeah.
He'd make a joke about it. Afterwards,
Snow Cat to some it. Others, yes. Hyondia.
Yes, I think Snow Cat was actually the brand already, but yeah. Hey, oh man, how the fuck do I do this?
Hey,
there are lots of things that the people, the climate survivors of far future planet Earth probably don't remember. One of which is Subway. It's time to check in with Subway in Subway Watch.
A little suggestion, Subwatch.
Oh, taken on board.
Toe, if you will.
Mm. Yeah.
Subwatch, watch fresh. I'll work on that
one. You know what? I made a noise initially like I was taking it on board, and I would actually like to retract that.
And
I'm
now,
no longer on board.
The baby has been cast out with the bathwater.
That's right.
Subway Jared.
This comes to us from WLWT in Cincinnati, Ohio. Subway location on Cincinnati's east side closes after nearly 40 years.
Fuck. And
is
we never
really
went there.
Is. It's a sign of times, isn't it?
Is that fucking crazy to you guys? 40 years of Subway?
40 years of Subway.
Can you imagine that if you were in, let's say, the 1990s, and someone's like, oh, there's a restaurant around the corner that's been around for 40 years. You'd be like, holy fuck, that restaurant's been there since the 50s? That was the olden days.
Oh, Papa Gino's, you'd say? And they go, no.
Well before Papa Gino's.
Subway. Yeah.
40 years is a legacy. That's a crazy amount of time for a Subway sandwich shop.
How much freshness must they have created for society?
Yeah. Mm.
How many artists bloomed
in that, given their first chance there?
Yes. And then they probably went on to make better sandwiches at home.
Yeah.
Better sandwiches basically anywhere, because the Subway sandwich is not a good sandwich.
Yeah, I know this probably isn't what we came for here, but I do want to kind of put Subway on blast.
Yeah, please. Yes.
I had a sub the other day.
Oh, would you?
No fucking good. No fucking good.
You know? I think I've eaten as many Subways as I will in my entire life at this point.
Yeah.
And that's quite a few.
Yeah, I got a like a chicken bacon ranch kind of thing.
Mm.
And like just everyone you get now, shrinkflation. Joe Biden's shrinkflation has hit Subway hard.
Bidenflation.
If that's 6 inches, I've got a penis to sell you. You know?
Yeah. Are you no longer using yours? It is kind of crazy that Subway is like one of the biggest takeaway chains in the entire planet.
Uh-huh.
But everyone knows that it sucks. Like, it's just kind of like a given that like it's a sandwich of desperation that people will still get because for the price, pretty good.
Yeah.
You like a 12-inch sub, you're getting a lot of food for a relatively small amount of money, but it's just not good. Like the stuff that you can get on there none of it really works together. There's no intention to it. And everyone always says, well, if you get a bad sandwich from Subway, that's your fault because you chose the ingredients to go on there. But it's actually because their shit sucks is why.
Well, it's your fault for going there.
Yes, it is your fault, but for a larger
reason. I feel like in my early 20s, getting a stepped on sandwich was just like par for the course.
Yeah.
This is what I was going to do because it's got nutrients in it, right? It's got, at the very least, it has bread and like some salad and shit.
That's
right.
There was a vegetable. There was a vegetable.
It's like even Subway doesn't have the technology to take the nutrients out of vegetables.
No, by chance, you're getting some vegetables in there.
Yeah. Like even if the stuff that they put on there in the bread or in the sauces or whatever is the stuff that's bad for you, the good stuff of the vegetables is still in there.
They haven't put the lettuce inside those weird microwaves that they've got that don't spin for some reason.
I think
whatever
it's a
they
little,
do.
It's a little grill. Convection oven,
it's more of
I'm
a
pretty
grill.
Sure.
Well, maybe even a toaster oven, if you will.
No, but I'm not talking about the toasters that they put it in. It's like the... Anyway, we don't need to go into that.
No, I want to know more about this.
We got time. It's not. We're not going on to anything more important than the non-spinning microwave at Subway.
Why doesn't it spin? Probably because it's a convection oven.
It's because they're just grilling it. They put the cheese on. They say, you want that grilled? And you say, yeah. And they turn around. They just kind of half-heartedly toss it from where they're standing behind the counter into their, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
But they are deliberately positioning the ingredients so that the stuff that is face up is getting grilled. You know, I did get bacon and I got the... I said, give me a most awful yellowest cheese, please.
Hey, what do you like on the menu?
Yeah.
That's 20 minutes.
Hey, you're the artist, you know? Hey.
What's good here?
Now
I don't know, the meatball sub.
I don't know why that, like, I don't know. Like, write in and tell us, mailbag@buntavista.com, if you believe us to be wrong, or there is perhaps just, like, one last bastion of good Subway in your neighborhood, but every sub I've bought in the last couple of years, not that many of them for good reason, they all look kind of withered, you know?
Yeah.
They all look a little bit, they look a little bit like if a flaccid penis were a sandwich.
And they look That's like how they're coming they've at been, me now. A mouse has come out of its little arch-shaped hole in the side of the Subway kitchen, and it's kind of it's run out, tried to grab it, and it's pulled it, and then one of the artists has had to successfully enter a QuickTime event to get the sandwich back off the rat to hand it to you.
And if they miss, you're getting a rat. If they press instead of X, you're getting a rat.
We've talked about this before, but the weirdest thing about Subway, and I don't know if it's true in Australia, but it's definitely true in America, is that nearly all of the meats that they sell are turkey. The salami. Turkey. The pepperoni. Turkey. The ham.
Fuck off. No. Turkey. Come on.
Turkalami?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey. They're selling me turkalami?
So the cold cut trio in America is sliced turkey bologna, turkey ham, and turkey salami.
Yeah, you're trio. Giving me some turkey bologna with what you're telling me right now.
That is the most American stepdad sentence I've ever heard in my life. Come on, Buster.
Come on now. Is this for real?
Yeah, it's all turkey. And then I posted about this on Twitter once, and then someone sort of tried to do that thing where they take the words that you've said and then use it to destroy you. And they I actually think that's because they're trying to be halal. I don't think that's the reason that Subway has gone with all turkey meats. I think it's because it's probably the cheapest possible option for them for some reason.
But they're just bigger than regular chickens. So
that
I feel like
true.
Probably takes the same amount of time for the machine to pluck it.
When you say,
but
hold
you're getting
on,
more
let's,
meat.
Let's, can we just reel it back for a second? When you say regular chicken, strongly implying that you believe a turkey to be a type of chicken.
A non-turkey chicken.
A non-standard chicken.
And a regular standard chicken versus a chicken with the turkey modifier.
Yes,
where are
exactly.
you going with this?
Yeah, good. Act like he's the crazy one.
Like in Left 4 Dead. Oh, that one's a Hulk. It's a Hulk chicken.
Yeah.
Got a big one.
Oh, watch out. It's the chicken witch.
It's the chicken witch.
Remember something from Left 4 Dead
from
right
Left
now.
Left 4 Dead, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never played it personally.
When you killed them. You remember those guys? Boomers, I think they were called.
Yeah.
And of course, we come down to the veggie patty made of vegetables, 40%.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Great, that's evocative.
Vegetables, 40%, followed by soy protein and cooked brown rice. Yes. And then down near the bottom, oats. Got some oats in there.
Yeah, that'd probably pack it out. That checks out.
Anyway, on to the next story. Hey, get a segue out.
Oh, I want to know about the Subway.
40-year-old Subway.
Yep. I'm not going to read the article to you because I think we invested enough time on that concept probably. But what kind of got me thinking was I was like, man, 40 years, that's a lot of time to get reviews.
And build goodwill, you know?
Yeah. Jared Fogle's 47, so he might have walked into this store at 7 years old.
Baffling. Thing to draw from that. Here are some reviews from this beautiful 40-year-old Subway location.
He was wearing huge Oshkosh B'gosh jeans.
Fucking Christ. You're both being very obstreperous. Is that what that word means?
It could be. It could be.
If
no
it
one
isn't,
on here is
do it till the
you.
Real meaning gets here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Here are some reviews from that Subway location.
Does it say what year the reviews are from?
No, I've drawn them from a pool of between a couple of months and like 9 years ago.
Okay.
Staff is always rude or unaccommodating. Good food, though.
Yeah, that's because they're paid $7.50 an hour.
But also the food's not good.
Yeah, you've come away with completely the wrong takeaway.
That's a crazy concession to make to Subway.
I think really, though, that kind of really speaks to the nature of the tortured artist, you know? Output's great, but he's kind of a pain in the ass to deal with.
Yes. Makes a hell of a sandwich, though, with dog shit ingredients. Makes
a hell of a sandwich.
Another one here. Very disrespectful employee named Owen using profanity while preparing me and my family's food and balled my husband's receipt up. Stating, quote, "That's how I do things" when called out about inappropriate behavior.
Owen, fuck yes.
No, that's what's up.
What's up, fuckers? Hey, did you want this?
All right, and what's your cunt son having?
Can I get a receipt with my four standard menu items and four Subway cookies? Ball that shit up straight at him.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, you didn't find a beer, did you? What are you drinking there?
I'm drinking a little Pet Nat because it's the only thing I've got in the fridge.
Oh, a little Pet Nat?
I cracked open the bottle because Maddie doesn't want to drink it because of her no burp thing, so she doesn't want anything carbonated.
Mm-hmm. Fair call. I got to say, really been enjoying
it. I'd love to dig into that sentence there.
Really been enjoying a Pet Nat. I don't know if you've heard of it in person, but not on the show.
Yeah, my beautiful wife is a no burper.
A never burper. Yeah, she can't burp. Like that.
She physically cannot burp, which causes her quite a lot of discomfort and pain. It turns out it's a real thing. On our first proper date, we were getting drinks from the bar at the Victoria Park mini golf course. And she's like, "I can't get anything carbonated because I can't burp." Been reading some stuff on r/no burp. And I was like, "That's a great gag. That's a really funny gag. Yeah, I'm on no burp too. We're all having fun."
Yeah.
No, she's a
Then did she say, "It's not a joke"?
She said, "Stop fucking laughing. Look at me in the eyes.
Yeah.
I can't fucking burp."
That's what happened to me too. Yeah. That's how I found out about it.
Yeah. She has to tell. She just tried to call me.
She knows.
About her car has had like a weird glitch, which is why you don't put smarts in a car, but her car keeps trying to call me when she's driving. So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, she's saying, "Hey, Siri, I fucking hate Ben."
Yeah, she's just like,
"Call Ben."
I got another one here. "Absolutely unacceptable. They were out of turkey at 4 o'clock on a Monday? Not to mention when I asked the guy how much a footlong was, he looked at me and said rudely, 'How it depends.'" It does
imagine
depend.
Working it at a Subway and still wanting to make footlong jokes. That's beautiful. The unbreakable human spirit.
I think that's also just the price of the sandwich depends on the ingredients of the sandwich.
Because the bread costs nothing.
Not all the footlongs are priced the same. The veggie delight or whatever it's called, pretty cheap. But if you're getting like the steak one, pretty expensive. So it depends on what's on your fucking footlong.
I think for the meat eaters out there, we can all agree that the meatball is the best value for money.
I don't think I've ever had the meatball. I don't think a meatball is the right object to put on a sandwich.
Yeah,
idiot right now.
No, I'm with Ben. A meatball and a sandwich is soon parted.
Such an incredible meatball sandwich a couple of months ago.
Yeah,
we all saw the fucking sandwich. It looked great.
How many times can you cook something life changing before your life just stays the same? There's only so many ways for your life to change from the things that are the amazing meals that you are putting on the table until it's just like, well, this is my life now.
And what if?
Theo, the life changes are incremental, okay?
Okay, all right. So you've been listening to Atomic Habits.
What if you changed from like the perfect path? What if you accidentally made one too many life-changing meals?
And that sliding was the thing doors to myself.
You knocked yourself off the golden path?
You forked off from the perfect, like optimum 100% platinum trophy Andrew run of the best lived life. By having one too many life-changing meals.
I'll take that chance.
Yeah,
I've got to get a bolognese.
Oh, I love that attitude. I don't think a meatball on a spaghetti or a meatball on a sandwich is just not the optimum way to prepare the meat.
I'm actually more anti spaghetti and meatballs.
Spaghetti and meatballs are so fucking stupid.
Yeah, the meat, the like inside of the meat's dry.
You can get a more even brown on just mince, and then it's better distributed on the sauce. It clings to absolutely. The noodles.
Yeah, meatball's a bad format. All right.
Yeah, meatball's not a good format. But a Swedish meatball and gravy, A little potato, a little bit of lingonberry jam. Forget about it. That's a good meatball.
Stop saying it like that.
That's how you talk about meatballs.
My standard Subway order.
Oh, a little
order,
Swedish meatball. Oh.
My standard Subway order used to be the...
We're going back to the menu.
Used to be the Italian BMT.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
So what was on the BMT?
Bologna. Meat. Tarantella.
Yeah. Bologna, meat, and then in brackets, turkey.
Whenever I get one, Maddie always looks me in the eyes, dead in the eyes, my beautiful wife, and she says, bigger, meatier, tastier.
Huh.
Because that's what BMT stands for.
And what about the sandwich? Oh, okay.
It is what it stands for, isn't it? Okay, Italian BMT is salami, pepperoni, and ham, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, well, turkey
doesn't line up. Doesn't line up.
There's a lot of reflux bundled up in that combo for me.
I used to eat a lot of BMTs. You don't understand. It used to be 6-inch Italian BMT, and then you say the two magic words, double meat, afterwards. And you get them to stack the BMT double high. You get your American cheese, marinara sauce, and pickles if you're feeling cheeky. And then I would just choke that down, you know, and feel something happening to my heart. It's usually like the blossoming of love for the world.
Yes. Another review here. This Subway used to be very good. The last time I went there, it was terrible. The woman seemed upset that I was ordering sandwiches and complained loudly about there being veggies on the sandwich while she cut and wrapped them.
How can that be true?
This pussy got carrots?
Your fucking vegetables on your fucking sandwich. You come in here. In my beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio Subway sandwich shop, you're getting your fucking vegetables. Get the fuck out of here. It's my Ohio accent.
Is this a store entirely staffed by the very nearly unhinged?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's actually,
that's how we do it in Cincinnati, baby. Ain't nothing but a Cincinnati thing. They come in here, fucking tomatoes, fucking jalapenos. Oh, your pickles, your cucumbers, your lettuce, your olives, your carrots.
They've worked out the perfect criteria to hire staff who are like absolutely all going to do that shit from the wrestler. You know, when he goes back to work at the deli?
With the meat slicer?
With the meat slicer?
Come into the Scratch Bar, Milton, for a delightful experience with all of our unhinged staff. Worst Subway that I've been. I had the most wonderful dream. I was a Subway.
I was a Subway in Cincinnati.
A terrible one.
It was a Subway.
A little boy
named
Jared walked through my door.
Changed me forever.
He was in his pajamas.
There's an old lady who is extremely rude and unfriendly.
Okay. Man, that's because she's an old lady working at Subway.
Yeah. That fucking sucks.
That sucks.
I asked her to put pepper jack on one sandwich and cheddar on the other, and she didn't like it and shook her head. I don't know what the heck is the problem. Never again.
Have you considered that no one out there at 7 years old, after leaving their play date with their friend Little Jared Fogle, nobody has ever said to themselves, boy, I hope I grow up to be an old lady working at a fucking Subway restaurant, you know? Maybe it's not about you. Maybe she's having a bad time. Maybe her rent check bounced, you know? Maybe she's just received a message from her landlord saying, rent check didn't come through, taking your couch, you know?
Her car just got repossessed in the car park and you've walked in and you've been like, hey, can I have...
two sandwiches for dipshits, please?
Can I have cheddar on one, pepper jack on the other? Don't get them mixed up. Don't get it twisted. And she's sitting there, fucking car got repossessed. These fucking
guys. She's sitting there thinking about how her 1987 Honda Civic is now at the repo man's lot. And she isn't going to be able to get her great big wallet of burnt CDs out of there to play at home.
Yeah.
She's going to have to go at home, sit in silence.
Yeah.
How do you think that makes
Hanzo
her feel?
Swords in there.
Cool Party Mix 3.
Yeah.
And then she's trying to make sandwiches for this ungrateful dipshit. And he's like, I think I'll take a different kind of cheese on the other sandwich.
Yeah, and you know what? He's walking and saying, I'm going to have vegetables on both of those.
Mm-mm. I'm healthy. That's why I'm eating at Subway. Wrong.
Idiot. You don't understand how Subway works.
You're lying to yourself. Double meat. No vegetables. Admit what you're doing.
Hey, if you ever figure out what number of calories is bad, you got to look at the Subway menu and you're going to go, oh, what? But it's just bread and like vegetables and stuff. How could it be that much?
It's just a sandwich with vegetables.
I don't know where they're putting all of those things because it's just bread and vegetables, a little bit of sauce. Yeah. How could it be bad for you? That's all the stuff that's good for you.
Seven kinds of meat.
How many calories could be in the ranch?
It's the ranch. Do you think if you get a Subway with no sauce, it's kind of okay? It's probably the bread. I think they hide it all in the bread.
What are they feeding those turkeys?
And I think the wrap, it's not a like the wrap thing that's not bread. I think that has double as much as the bread.
The Italian herbs and cheese bread. It contains cheese powders, whey powder, hydrogenated vegetable fat.
Yeah.
You know? Non-animal rennet.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Because most times when you go rennet and stuff, that's... Jeremy read it?
The bread contains breadcrumbs? What? Hey, oh, that's the Parmesan oregano topping. I'm sorry. Apologies to Subway. Apologies to Subway.
Man, we can't really be at 34 minutes. I have one more. $20 for a meatball hoggy that fell apart by the time I got to eat it?
How are we spelling hoggy there?
H-O-G-G-I-E. And the space between two and eat it, that's a double space, baby.
Yep.
$20 for a meatball hoggy that fell apart by the time I got to eat it.
You know what? Skill issue.
Motherfucker, how are you spending $20?
You've done something wrong.
You can't get a $20 Subway sandwich.
In America, you're spending $20 on a Subway sandwich.
You get triple meat on your meatball hoggy.
Yeah, I'm gonna issue both an accusation and a fatwa on this man, which is I reckon he's got himself a foot long meatball sub. He's asked for double meat, and then he's like put it on the passenger seat of his car. And driven 45 minutes back home or to his fucking friend's place or whatever is a normal distance for Americans to drive.
He's
apparently
picked it up in Cincinnati and he's driven to Dayton. That's what's happened.
He's had a hot, wet sandwich sitting on the passenger seat inside the grease paper, you know, from Subway.
American sandwich.
And he gets to the other end and goes, Whoa, what do you mean my big sandwich is wet and also there's too much shit in it for the bread and also it's too expensive? You picked it. You made it. Yeah. You were the artist.
But
if you were the artist sandwich, all along.
If a sandwich costs $20, don't order it that way. Change the way you order it.
I would feel very bad getting to the end of the line where I'd spent 5 minutes forming a beautiful relationship with the artist to say, you know what?
Throw it out.
Yeah, I don't want this. I can't afford that. Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah, can you put some of that meat back, please?
I wonder, can you even get to the American Subway site from Australia? Because I want to know.
I tried. It's redirecting me to... Maybe with a VPN we could manage this.
That's true. Well, you just turned your VPN off.
Yeah, that's not one where I can choose where I'm going, though.
Oh.
Oh, it wants me to pick a specific shop I'm going to get it from? Fuck off.
Well... Ideally, we can kill another 45 minutes on Subway.
Ideally.
Or perhaps, is there anything else going on in America that we should know about?
No.
I think so.
Oh, fuck.
Just kidding. Let's see what's happening in America. In America Watch.
America.
This comes to us from KLAS in Las Vegas.
The class.
Oh, a little bit of class for once.
Well, maybe not, judging by the article.
No. Las Vegas ice cream truck mistaken for ice vehicle.
Oh, boy. You might ask yourself, how does that happen?
Stuff happening in America right now?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so this comes in like a cultural context. That's unbelievably fucking bad. We're not going to get political.
No.
But it seems like
we're not even going to say whose side we're on.
No.
We're not even going to say who's president.
We're not going to take a stand or do anything that might jeopardize our income.
Imagine we'd hate to lose the subscriptions of all our hard right-wing listeners.
It'd be so funny to finally hear us say something like, hey, wait a fucking second.
I was listening for the Subway Jared jokes, but y'all went too far.
When you guys were reading the Subway menu, I thought, hell, this is fun.
I hate Iowans.
Some might call it a low effort podcasting.
But the low effort stuff is probably where we shine, I think. We're probably one of the highest grade low effort podcasts in the world, I think.
Yeah. Highest quality, lowest effort. Every time. Is that fair to say?
Because what are we grading on? Certainly not income.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, I think the scale for podcast income is a lot like the OnlyFans thing where there's like 0.1% are making all the money, and then there's just like a bunch of people that are like, no one's buying their foot pics. So we're buoyed up.
Buy our foot pics.
You guys are buying our foot pics.
No, we've got a few dedicated. We've got a few dedicated foot freaks.
We had some freaks out there.
One guy that posted Andrew's feet.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy. I tried reporting that on Instagram, and they weren't having it.
Yeah.
They said, that's fine. Apparently, it's okay to compile a compilation, like to make collages of a stranger's feet and say, yum, yum. I love jacking off to this guy's feet.
And you're not even like, you know, let's just pick some like Florence Pugh or like Emma Stone or anything like that.
Are you picking people that have particularly good feet?
No, I think he's naming people that make him horny.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine for three dudes on a podcast.
Or like King Charles. Like, you're just you're just a regular fella with some beautiful feet.
Just a regular fella with some beautiful feet, you know? I wear socks and shoes all the time. I'm not out there walking around barefoot on the pavement, roughing them up.
You're not even walking around barefoot inside your own home.
They're soft. They're beautiful. Well, I'm wearing slides right now. I've been trying to adapt to an indoor shoes lifestyle. Okay.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No. I mean like taking off my outside shoes and putting on like slides, you know?
Oh.
Like putting like an indoor shoe, not just wearing my shoes inside. To be clear,
I'm also wearing
my shoes inside. Americans get so mad when they find out you've been wearing your sneakers in your house, man.
Okay,
I
think you've been sitting on a specific grievance from when you posted the video of you showing how to cook a folded egg.
Yeah,
a bunch of people popped up about the fact that you're wearing shoes inside your own house.
You're wearing...
Like Patrick Bateman would do.
You're wearing sneakers on the fucking vinyl planks in your kitchen. Oh, no.
I sometimes put thongs
on or something inside if there's like crumbs on the floorboards and I haven't vacuumed yet.
We don't all live in places where you can just be not wearing shoes all the time, you hot weather motherfuckers.
What is that reaction for, Ben?
I just feel like I would sweep up the crumbs rather than start wearing shoes.
I've got other shit to do. I got children.
Yeah, they're the ones
they're
putting the crumbs
crazy.
On the floor too.
No, it doesn't like the noise of the
vacuum.
We
don't all have a large dog to be walking around snuffling up the crumbs.
Noah just puts his hands on his ears. And I'm like, buddy,
I
haven't even started it yet. He's got like a noise aversion.
Oh,
it's
like a
sensory
thing.
Nothing to do with his genetics.
Oh, like Rain Man. Rain Man hated loud noises in that movie.
He's no good at poker so far.
Get it trained up to make some fucking bank.
Sometimes when Lucy's not on an episode, I worry that the energy's going to be like a little low, sort of. Like the three of us would kind of be more of a procedural episode.
Yeah.
This has not been procedural.
No.
Full transparency? Do we want some transparency?
Oh, yeah.
Do we believe in transparency around here? Absolutely.
We want people to see right through us.
Okay. I've been doing some New Year's stuff, right? Like, me and Elna have
both
been...
you're taking your time.
Fireworks.
Some resolutions. You know how we all... Like, I think I've developed a different opinion about, like, the New Year's resolution type stuff, which is everybody collectively seems to have this idea that a New Year's resolution is something that you do at the start of the year when you're full of hope and ambition, and then you, like, give it up because you're a loser and you're never going to make it, you know?
Yeah.
But in reality, I think it makes perfect sense, especially as you enter the rhythms of like adult life, you know, because you go through your year and as the year kind of draws to a close, you get into the end of the year, you looking at what Theo's doing?
Yeah, he looks like he's about to make an internet purchase because he's holding his card and reading the numbers off it while you're talking.
I'm putting in my order for bolognese, all right?
Sorry for that noise I just made. Oh, dear.
What the fuck?
We need, like, a referee. I need, another authority that I can appeal to.
Oh.
Where someone else will step in and say, hey, knock that off.
I'm multi-processing. My
therapist
says
a man's telling you something heartfelt and you're trying to order bolognese online.
You can't fucking multitask at all. You do not have the capacity. You can't wait 15 fucking minutes to order your dinner.
I've got chores to do.
He's on a timeline.
I've got to line it up. I got to pick up the bolognese. I bring it home. I eat it. I've got to make the kids' beds.
I feel like a substitute teacher. Right now,
there's a bird in the room.
There's a dog on the oval.
It's only because you drew attention to it. I was just over here.
Because you were doing it.
Showing my card to the camera.
Which is not.
Anyway,
so
Andrew,
you're getting towards the end of the year, you know? Yeah. You have your regular rhythms of life, and you're getting towards the end of the year.
Yes.
And you're trying to kind of make it to the finish line, you know, to get your time off over Christmas. For Americans, that's something that happens in other parts of the developed world. You get to, like, have a couple of weeks off over Christmas that you usually get paid for, you know? And then when it's, like, your time off over Christmas, then all of your normal routines and everything and your rhythms are kind of out the window. You know, you might be on vacation. You might have family staying with you. You're having Christmas dinner. You know, you're eating a lot of ham. Maybe you're drinking more than you normally are. All that sort of stuff, right? And then as you get back into the year, you go, okay, I've been, like, out of my normal rhythms. And I'm ready, like Tony Hawk at the top of the half pipe, to drop back in to life.
Yes.
And get back into it. How do I want it to be? Are there any improvements I can make? What have I been missing? I've been missing eating my Subway vegetables, you know? I've been eating too much Christmas ham. And so I had been saying to Eleanor, you know, I'd been like, man, I'm really fucking out of the practice of, like, just getting some regular exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just regular exercise, you know, nothing crazy. I'm not talking about going to the gym with a personal trainer. I'm just talking about leaving my house, going for a walk, stuff like that. And the other thing that I know is not fantastic for me is smoking weed every day.
Yeah.
Does not do me any favors as far as, like, being good at my job goes or being able to maintain focus through the day, you know?
Yeah, this is the thing that I don't want to get on a soapbox. And I know, sorry, you really got out of the preamble stage and we're getting into the thing.
I'll step down off the soapbox for a second. You have a go.
I just want to jump up and say that I'm a weed guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love weed. It's great.
Me
it's a plant.
Too. Have been for decades.
It's from the earth.
Comes from the earth. Can't be bad for you.
It's from the ground. Yeah. Can't be bad for you. It kind of makes, like, everything better. Like, basically everything, except for me having conversations with people. Other than that, sometimes. But, like, yeah, movies, music, books, going for a walk, being outside. All of it doesn't seem to have any, like, deleterious health effects other than it makes me eat large packets of chips.
Yep, that's a problem for me too.
But it does seem to just kind of, like, it does make your life a lot worse if you have, like, a bunch of it. Like, it kind of seems to make you kind of stupider and you don't really ever do anything because you're like, hey, yeah. I could engage in this hobby that I have tonight. But instead, I'm going to get real high and then I'm going to sort of, like, half-heartedly watch a bunch of stuff and then change between it.
Yeah, and I'll also be looking at my phone the whole time.
It makes you kind of, like, worse and like, it makes stuff more enjoyable in the minute, but overall you're, like, worse at engaging with stuff. It's really fucking annoying because there's not,
like,
a strong
person as well. It does make you kind of, like, go downhill.
Yeah, and people kind of look at you and you're like, oh, God, he's just, like,
I guess he's just
going
to, like, take some weed and
yeah. So this is
Mars Volta.
This is my issue, right?
Which
is that, like,
porcupine tree.
Yeah,
that's
my issue. Is that if there were nothing else to do, I would love having a whole gang of weed every day, you know?
It's so good.
But
imagine
as it is,
if your whole life you're just listening to, like, cool stoner metal and you're rereading the Dune books over and over again,
listening
lying
to my
on
records,
a divan,
doing stretches, you know, that would all be fantastic.
Oh my God.
As
yes.
it is, however,
I should do that.
As it is, however, I have a full-time job. I have the podcast. I have children to parent. I have many chores to do around the house. I have upkeep, yes, all those things, right? And I know from my many years of lived experience that when I am doing that every day, it makes it very difficult for me to maintain focus the following day. It makes it difficult for me to do things. And this has these run-on effects, right? Mm. It has these run-on effects like when I'm feeling really scattered and I find it very difficult to focus for prolonged periods at work, I feel like I'm doing a bad job. I feel, yes, like I'm being a fucking fraud for pulling down, yes, my paycheck when I didn't do enough work that day. That in turn has impacts on, like, you know, my self-image, my self-esteem, all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So what Elna and I have been trying to do is just to say, hey, maybe Sunday night to Thursday night, we just aim for, like, not going hard on like I'm aiming for no weed. Elna's aiming for not really any alcohol. We kind of have the inverse problem, which is for her, she's like, you know, a glass of wine very easily leads to a bottle of wine.
That's, you know, what happens.
We've, yeah, all been there. We've all been,
that's
there.
That's how they get you.
And for me, some weed leads to all of my worst habits being indulged.
You've got the Eurobrick super vape.
Well, and
you put anything in there and then bam.
And as you were alluding to before, I get high of an evening and that also leads to me just like fucking power binge eating food. And I have hit a point in my life where my metabolism is no longer as bulletproof as it used to be. And I'm starting to gain weight as a result of my activities. And that also not making me feel good. So what I've started to try and do is say, rather than looking at like sobriety or at least, you know, temporary abstinence through the week and exercise and things like that as just things you're supposed to do because that's correct or morally good or like what you're meant to be doing. Because if you look at it that way, then when you don't do it, you feel like you're being morally bad, you know? Yes. You feel like you're letting yourself down. You feel like you've failed or whatever. Instead, I'm choosing to look at these things as a means to an end. You know, if I try and abstain, then I know I do better at work and I know that I feel like I'm earning my money and I know that I feel like I'm feeling better about myself and I can get more shit done, all that sort of stuff. Weed is more of a treat on a Friday night or the weekend, you know. However, if there is a night where I have some, I'm not like, oh no, you fucked
up. I suck. Yeah, I'm an asshole. I'm a dumb fucking asshole hophead.
Instead, if you look at it as, you know, you're doing your best to do these things as a means to an end. We've also been like getting up in the morning, doing yoga together, doing a kettlebell workout, going for a walk up the hill or whatever. That also makes me feel good, you know, it makes me feel better. But I'm not looking at it as like a failure if I don't do it 5 days a week. It's like if we do it 2 or 3 days a week, that's 3 more days than the 0 days I was doing it a month or two ago. You know, these are all good things. Anyway, I say all of this to say podcast night is when I allow myself to have several drinks. And that's why the energy is out of control, Ben.
Incredible. I'd actually forgotten how we got onto this.
Me too. I was trying to, I was kind of like pulling on that thread backwards and going like,
needle,
I have no idea
baby.
Where this goes. It's weird.
And you only
like,
pulled out your phone one time, Theo.
Absolutely. Yep. And this is the fucking, this is my problem, right? Is that I am addicted to my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And like, I talked to my therapist and it's like, she's like, well, you know, are you not getting things done? I'm like, well, you know, no, I am getting stuff done, right? Like I've got, I'm good at my job, yes, right? I like clean the house. I do all this stuff.
You have two beautiful boys.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, you're not putting too much pressure on yourself. And we talked about it and it's like, it's not, because if you come at it that way, you're exactly right, Andrew, right? Like you're it's a moral issue to go, well, I should be doing this or I should be doing that or what have you. But what the difference is in doing it for yourself is empowerment, right? You are able to do the things that you want to do.
You're doing it to make yourself and your life better, not because
you're
of
fucking,
some
you're
external
a
motivation.
Person.
Yes, you've got, I value
you. You've got stuff you find cool to do, whatever the fuck it is. And so, you know, if you're able to do that shit, then or not on a particular day or not, it's not about you trying to cram into everything into your life as like some fucking optimization problem, because that's the worst outcome, right?
To yeah, go,
well,
yeah, yeah. I'm
I could
not
be doing this so I could be
guy.
Earning, you know, $50 an hour working, an additional job like you know, I don't know what the fuck, running websites or whatever, right?
That, like, that optimization brain is what turned you into Brian Johnson.
Mm.
Yeah,
the
exactly,
ultimate optimizer.
Right?
And has, like, your therapist got you on that ACT, that acceptance and commitment therapy?
No, I'm going to drink this out.
Oh, my therapist likes that, and I'm into it.
Often, like, sometimes people say to us that if Lucy's not on an episode, that they lack a kind of emotional intelligence, and we'll just sort of devolve into,
yeah,
sort of
shit and cum jokes.
Yeah, mostly.
I did miss something earlier. There was an in to make a joke about a procedural. That's right. We're talking about procedural, and I thought, well, if it's anything like that procedure where I got my nut milked, count me in. Anyway, you were saying something, Ben.
Anyway, my point being, you know, you can do these things, but if you're doing them, like, for yourself, because I think part of the problem is if you say to yourself, I have to be doing X, Y, and Z, you know, because I'm supposed to be doing that, or I need to stop doing these activities that I feel like are detrimental to me, or they're quote unquote fucking naughty or whatever. If you're doing those things, you need to be doing them in a way where you're allowing yourself to replace that with something else. So for me, I find I really struggle if I say, I'm going to not vape weed every day, and I'm not going to, you know, drink, or I'm going to, you know, have one beer of an evening kind of thing.
But then what are you going to do? You're going to sit in the middle of the room motionless?
Sit in the room and stare, you know.
Are you going to Theo style your evening?
So depending on what your various interests are, you can't just be saying, I'll take these things out and then sit there and say, oh, either this makes me a better person, or I get really agitated and feel like there's stuff I'm not allowing myself to do. But it's about giving yourself the space to replace those things with other things that bring you joy, you know? Give yourself the time to, like, pursue those hobbies that you're interested in. Put your phone away for a bit and, like, read a book you've been meaning to read.
Read a fucking book.
You've been leaning... Oh, fuck, it's hard, isn't it, to read a book? Yeah.
I've been on a big reading kick lately because my Maddie's brother, Floating Disc, who did the poster for our last live show, he got me onto this book series that I've been enjoying the fuck out of. And then there's a bunch of sequels and spin-off books, but there's also a bunch of books that are about those books because they're weirdly dense and complex. And I've been reading like fucking crazy, and it feels so good. I haven't been on a big reading kick
for ages. You never feel bad afterwards, right?
And the good thing is that reading is an activity where you can listen to music at the same time. So I'm listening to my records as well, which I sometimes feel bad that I've spent a bunch of money on records and I don't listen to them as much as I should. But I'm just sitting down in my nice little sitting area with all the plants and shit that I've made for myself. Mm-hmm. I'm putting records on. I'm reading a little bit.
Hell yeah.
I go flip the record. I go check in on Maddie, see what she's doing. Go sit down again, read my book. Oh, it's heavenly. It's so good.
But again, it's about changing that dynamic. Yeah. It's about changing that dynamic.
You've got to give yourself space to do that.
Yeah. It's about changing the dynamic from looking around your house and saying, oh, well, I spent money on these records and I feel bad that I haven't been listening to the records. And if I don't do that, I'm failing somehow. I'm failing to do something. And instead, if you are able to say, there's these things I'm going to change, and I'm going to change them as a means to an end. And the end is giving myself the space to do these things that give me joy.
I'm going to feel good. I'm going to interact with art. I'm going to just do the shit that I know I love. Put on maybe Ocean Size's first album. Put on maybe Ocean Size's second album.
Maybe the third
put
album.
On
hell.
Ocean Size's third album.
Sometimes I
see where it takes you.
I get to the end of the day, and in the minutes before I fall asleep, because of my sleep apnea, I fall asleep basically instantly. More or less when I put my head on the pillow. But I sometimes just have that little thought of, if I don't wake up, like if some freak thing happens to me in my sleep, and this winking out of my consciousness that I'm about to experience, this lapse in my consciousness turns out to be permanent, how will I feel about not just like the way that I've lived my life, but the way that I've had the day that just gone? And like this, so this happened to me last night. I had this thought before I fell asleep, and I was looking at my beautiful dog who I love so much, who sleeps on the bed because I am a terrible dog owner. And he does a thing where he sleeps on the bed with you, but he wants to lean his whole body against someone's leg. So he alternates throughout the night. He's either sleeping on Maddie's legs or he's sleeping on my legs because he sleeps between us. And I gave him a little pat. And I'm like, this is fucking perfect because I'm falling asleep. And he's next to me. And the love of my life, Maddie, is next to me. She's going to be up for hours scrolling on her phone. But I gave her a little kiss and I said, I love you. And I'm ready to fall asleep in that moment. And I know that part, my interpersonal relationship at that moment, I know are absolutely perfect. But I'm like, what did I deny myself throughout the day because I feel guilty? Or what did I like do that I shouldn't have done? Or what are the things that I did do because I know they're pleasurable, but I know that they're like ultimately bad for me? Which is a thought that I find really weird with stuff like booze is one, because I work in a bar, so I'm around beer a lot. And, you know, you're balancing stuff like the two beer feeling for me, one of the greatest feelings on earth. You're completely free from concern. You're just relaxed. You're in the moment, but then it's very easy to drink too much. And I don't know if that's bad, but then I'm like, well, if I died tonight, most of the bad things from doing that are long-term. You know, if I die today, would I have wished that I'd spent more time just sort of doing those things that are sort of hedonistic? It's really hard to balance those feelings of like, what is, how many treats are you meant to give yourself in a lifetime versus what are the decisions you're meant to make that make your life better overall so that every day is like a little bit better? And I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. It's fucking tough.
I don't know. I feel like on some fundamental level, we all kind of know in our hearts when something we're doing is like bad for us.
Yeah.
With a capital B, you know? Like everybody can listen to the voice inside themselves and go, I kind of know that doing this every day or getting this drunk every day or getting this stoned every day, whatever it might be.
Mm.
Like I know that this isn't making me feel good on a long timeline, you know? I think everybody's got that voice inside them. I hope most of us have that voice inside them that is telling you like, yeah, you know, like one thing that I think probably struggle with and that I have been working on dealing with is that my voice says, yeah, go for it. You know, the little voice inside me makes excuses for myself to do the things that I want to do, even though I know that on a long enough timeline, they're not improving my life or giving me value or, you know, making my relationships better with people, all that kind of stuff. Or even just stopping me from engaging with parts of the world outside myself that I wish I were more engaged with, you know? And so, like you say, Ben, it's about finding that balance between giving yourself those treats and indulging yourself and indulging the people around you and giving time to your friends and your family and strangers on the street and all of those things in a way where if it were the time that you lay down to go to sleep and it were the last time, as far as you were concerned, you know, people always say like, nobody's ever on their deathbed saying, I wish I spent more time at the office, you know?
Yeah, but
are people on their deathbed saying, I wish I hadn't had so many beers with my friends?
But are people on their deathbed saying shit like, I wish I spent more time at the gym? Or
I wish I was optimizing better.
Yeah, I don't know. This is something that plagues me all the time. I don't know. Is there, if anyone listening to this has the exact formula for the perfect life, well lived, like the regret free life, I'd really love to know what that is.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome if you had some sort of insight.
Have you escaped samsara?
Hey,
oh yeah, like if you kind of lived a life that was like entirely free of desire,
free of regret, free of sin, you know,
yeah, like you sort of just at every fork in the road. You were able to sort of remove yourself from ego and you chose like the best path for not just yourself, but for everyone that sort of fell into the interconnected web of your life and the flow on effects of those things as well. So like you didn't really engage in any decisions that contributed to harm, like buying stuff that was made with child labor or like...
Yeah. So if you are the reincarnation of the Buddha Gautama, basically, get in touch.
Yes.
Let us know.
If you're like a Punta Vista, Bodhisattva kind of lister.
Yeah, you met the ferryman with no regrets.
Yeah, you kind of got to the end of your life and you just said, okay, yep. That's kind of what...
This is not an ending, it's just a new beginning.
Yeah, and even if it is an ending, okay.
I saw a... Oh, no, I'm not going to be able to find it now. Fuck, I fucked it. A recent interview with Michael Shannon where he was talking about like love and aging, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how when you're younger, what you care about with love is like getting fulfillment and love and everything for yourself. But as you get older, what you realize is that what matters is to love other people, you know?
Yes.
To give your love to others. And I kind of wonder if that's the... If that's the secret to living your regret-free life, you know?
Did we figure out the secret to a regret-free life with help from Michael Shannon?
By listening to Michael Shannon?
I hope so. I found something while we're doing the sincere episode, is that a really beautiful change that I've experienced in my life is that, you know, when like you're young, relationships are often defined by like the highs you experience at the start and then they sort of turn to like turbulence and then they finish and then you find another one. I've just found that getting a little bit older, I'm not an old guy, but like a little bit older, is that when older people tell me that relationships take work, I always thought that just sounded sort of trite and annoying, but that the work in trying to be a better person for the person that you love it's joyous. It is a genuinely joyous thing to realize that what makes a relationship beautiful is definitely, you know, chemistry and compatibility and all that, but it two people who like each other, who understand each other, who want to be accepting of each other's faults but also work on their own, and that it does take effort, and the change of mindset there of not being like, oh, well, because we have this friction, we're not meant to be together. That's like a young person's idea of relationships. But instead being like, no, how can I
make your life better?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful fucking feeling that it's just completely changed everything for me. It's really nice. And like you can look at friendships through that lens as well. I think that's really beautiful. And if you're in your early 20s and you're listening to this episode and you have tapped out...
What are these old motherfuckers talking about?
You will literally not understand until you're here.
You won't understand until you're here. I was listening to a song today in the car, Ben, and thinking of you.
Oh.
Actually.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about earnestness...
Please.
I was listening to Jackson Brown, who's one of my favorite guys. And I was listening to a song called Alive in the World, where he talks about just... I was like, man, this song is just so extremely Ben-coded. Because it's a song about like leaving yourself and existing in the world around you, you know? It's about not just keeping yourself behind a wall, barricaded away, fearful. It's about going out into the world and connecting with other people, you know?
Fuck yeah,
dog. Did you find a song about barricading yourself away, fearful, that reminded you of me?
No, I have another song from the same album to recommend you, Theo.
Yeah.
The album is Solo Acoustic Volume 2. To be clear, disclaimer, I don't like the studio recorded version of Alive in the World. I like the live version from Solo Acoustic Volume 2. And Theo should listen to Casino Nation from Solo Acoustic Volume 2. Which is I was trying to date it. So the album is from 2008. Which was that Obama year?
Yeah, it gotta be, right?
Yeah, so the album's recorded like right before the election. And there's two of these albums, Solo Acoustic Volume 1 and 2. And people are shouting out in this theater that he's in, like, songs that they want him to play. And before Casino Nation, someone yells out, play a song for Bush. Play a song for W, you know? And he's like, oh, that's right. You guys are having an election tomorrow, right? So he plays Casino Nation, which is a song that I think Theo would like, personally. But yeah, Alive in the World, Ben. I'm going to send it to you. You can listen to it. He's a very earnest guy, Jackson mm-hmm. Brown, but also been on the right side of everything forever, you know? He's done protest songs. He's like an anti-nuclear guy. He was doing songs in the 80s about like Iran-Contra and the Nicaraguans and shit. Always right about everything, you know?
Oh, that's nice.
Good. That's good, an attribute to have.
We love you, Jackson Brown.
I'm just going to summarize the article that I read a headline for a little while ago. That was Las Vegas ice cream truck mistaken for ice vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there was a guy in Las Vegas, and there was a sort of viral panic that ice was going around disguised as an ice cream truck based around this guy. Now, if you are a chump, you might have heard that and been like, oh, it's because it says ice in ice cream.
Yeah.
It's because this guy has cop branding on his ice cream truck. It's a police-themed ice cream truck.
And this is kind of adjacent to, like, remember when we had that story about like, the old jails that they would retrofit as, like, bars and, like, we lock you in the cell and you have your drinks in there.
His thing is called Las Vegas Ice Cream Patrol, and it has like a sheriff's badge and shit on it.
Ice Cream Patrol.
What do you fucking want, pal? People are going to look at your van and be like, it's law enforcement. And that was basically that article.
We should cut his hands off.
Definitely an episode of the podcast. Bunta Vista, thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you are between the ages of 35 and 45 and that this resonated with you in some way. I think we've all had a lot of stuff going on in our minds about our lives, which we all should be. I think we're put on this earth to understand ourselves and why we're here and our place in this world, and a little bit of introspection. Probably good for you. We will see you back on the free episode. Thank you so much. Let us know if you've figured out like the secret to just sort of feeling okay about yourself and the choice that you've made, not feeling like you're denying yourself anything, but at the same time, not feeling like you're indulging overly much, just feeling kind of okay with being a part of the world.
Really nailing the right time to masturbate every week.
Yeah. But like not too much, not too much.
What's the right amount?
You know, like not to be quote unquote political. Honestly, feels like a bit of a dark time right now. And just remember, step away from the internet every now and then.
It's not good for you. No good.
Put your phone down, delete the X app off your phone, go outside, make eye contact with your neighbors, go down to like the local shops. Go into if you've got a local bakery, go in there and get something. Yes. Make friends with the baker, please.
Correct.
You know? Yes.
Hey, this week, the Bunta Vista Challenge is befriend a baker. We'll see you real soon. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. Stay safe out there. Be open to the universe and its possibilities. And don't be like so fucking hard on yourself. But know that you can strive to sort of, you know, get your shit together. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Brew.